From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
I got started looking into sexual abuse in the Catholic Church because a couple months ago, the Pope made what at the time was a really startling admission.
That's WHYY reporter Laura Benchoff.
He was on a plane with reporters, kind of like the president does, where there's this sort of like press room while they're flying from place to place.
Press gaggle.
Exactly. And someone asked him, hey, there have been these accounts of nuns who are abused by priests in their communities. And he publicly acknowledged this for the first time. And that was a really big deal.
People have been looking into the Catholic Church sex abuse scandal in Pennsylvania for well over a decade. A huge grand jury report on the issue was conducted by the Pennsylvania Attorney General last year. So Laura started looking into accounts of nuns being abused here.
So I started reaching out to survivor groups to see if I could find any local stories. And the more people I talked to, the more I was hearing, you know, actually, I know somebody who was abused by a nun, and they want to talk about it.
Survivors told Laura that the church dismissed their claims and that it was especially complicated to bring allegations against a woman. Why have these victims been ignored? And how do gender imbalance and church hierarchy work together to minimize their stories? Today on The Why, Surviving Nun Abuse.
One of the people I talked to for this story is Trish Cahill.
Did you go to Catholic school?
Oh, God, yes. 14 years of Catholic school, 8 years in grammar school, 4 years in high school, 2 years in college.
She lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania now. And when she was about 15, a nun approached her on the street. She was babysitting for her aunt and uncle out in the front yard. And this nun introduced herself and started inviting her to things. You know, first it was come play guitar at a Hootenanny Mass. Folk was really big. It was the 1960s. Then it was, if you get an A on your report card, I'll take you to the beach. Sort of like extending herself as a mentor or mother figure.
Be my protege. Study with me. Join the convent. I'll be your spiritual director. I'll be your mentor, your conscience, your guide, your moral compass. She was all of those things to me and more.
You know, this woman was encouraging her to go become a nun herself. But it turns out that those were the steps of grooming towards a sexual relationship.
And then she made me a cup of tea to relax me that had tranquilizers in it and alcohol.
Trish says that was the first time the nun sexually assaulted her. She was unconscious and she couldn't consent.
People can say whatever they want to say that a woman can't rape a woman. Yes, a woman can rape a woman. A woman can rape a 15-year-old girl. And that's what happened that night.
How widespread a problem are we talking about? I mean, what do we know about this problem overall?
So we don't have an official count from the Catholic Church itself, but there's a watchdog group called Bishop Accountability that sort of tracks all known offenders here. And they have a list of about 100 nuns, they say, who've been credibly accused in the U.S. That means the accusations led to a lawsuit or a newspaper article, something with some vetting. But when you compare that to how much we know about the priests, it's a really big disparity. I mean, we know based on reports commissioned by the Catholic Church itself that more than 4,000 priests in the U.S. have been accused of sexually assaulting minors. Obviously, that's orders of magnitude larger than the 100 number that we have for nuns. And part of that is just because priest abuse has been better documented. It's easier to trace in the Catholic Church. You know, there's something like 400 women's religious orders, and they kind of function in an insular way. They have their own hierarchy. They're not as accountable or not accountable in the same way to a bishop or a cardinal that, you know, somebody who's just a diocesan parish priest, your neighborhood church priest would be. And that just makes it harder to kind of, you know, use the hierarchy to investigate itself. If they're not tracking this, You have to go to each of those hundreds of orders and say, well, what do you know about this? What do you know about this? And all that means is just that it's harder to get a bigger, fuller picture of this. And survivors say that means it can be harder to connect the dots between who's really responsible and maybe is part of the reason why these stories are not counted and held up to the light in the same way that stories of priest abuse have been.
So, Laura, how long did it take Trish and some of the other people to come forward?
Trish was in her early 40s. You know, it had taken her decades to process this.
I mentioned it to my sponsor, and she was the first person that ever said, that's not a relationship, that's sexual abuse.
I'm 78 years old now, so that can tell you how long it can take some of us to name something and say, oh my God.
I was 40. I found a therapist. I found all of the books I needed to read. I started unhooking myself from the thought that this was all my fault.
It was an aha moment for me that I fought for 15 years.
That's pretty typical of people who have experienced childhood sexual trauma. In some cases, they are well into middle age or old age before they're ready to actually confront what happened to them.
And was it even harder for people to process their abuse and to come forward about it because their abusers were women?
Some of them do talk about just how hard it was to understand what had happened to them, because our picture of what an abuser looks like in our sort of collective consciousness so often is a man. And if you are a woman who was abused, or men who was abused by a woman as a child, it can be very confusing because that person may have also had a nurturing role in your life. They may have blurred these lines, and our culture just doesn't necessarily talk about stories of women perpetrators as much, part because there are fewer of them, as it does stories about male perpetrators.
And there's also just the questions of how are women's stories treated generally, and the survivors I talked to talk about that too. There's one woman who I think put it really well. She's not local. She lives in Minnesota. Her name is Susan Pavlak.
Anything that has to do with women is less important than things that have to do with men.
Similar to Trish, she had an experience where someone who was her teacher, who was a former member of a convent, sort of isolated her and started sexually abusing her. And she talks a lot about how she really thinks there is a gender problem in the Catholic Church that is sort of part of the heart of why this isn't looked at.
We have bifurcated in the Roman Catholic Church women and men. That's a problem when you're going to deal with something that is pervasive through a system, but the women aren't an important part of the system.
So she's pointing out that in the Catholic Church hierarchy, women are below men. You know, men are ordained, they are in sort of the highest positions of power. And when you have kind of two separate tracks based on gender, it means that women who are abused by women just become doubly less important. In her eyes, this is how she's understood what's happened to her.
If the church has more or less turned a blind eye to these stories, is there anybody answering for this?
In terms of individual cases, you can go to the order of the nun who you say abused you. And that is what Trish did. First, she says she went in 1992 and, you know, there wasn't any traction.
One of them told me to accept it as a measure of love and to understand that I was chosen.
Then she says she went back in 1994 and she brought a lawyer with her this time.
I asked for two things, for her to be out of her principalship, to be away from girls, and I wanted treatment for post-traumatic stress.
And at that point, the order has told me that they started an investigation and they substantiated Trish's claims that there was improper sexual contact with a minor, and they removed this nun from public ministry.
And what about people who want to hold the entire structure of the church accountable?
Some people are turning to groups like the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. They are sort of like the trade association of all the nuns groups, the Mother Superior who get together and meet and set big picture agendas. I reached out to the Leadership Conference of Women Religious for this story, and they did apologize. They sent me a statement talking about all of the work that they've done to try to prevent future sexual abuse in their membership, training materials, new policies, you know, new ways of just thinking about their responsibility in terms of preventing sexual abuse. But people like Susan, you know, people who've experienced this, they say, well, what about us? This has already happened. You should be doing more to make up for the abuses that we've already suffered.
They were like not interested in taking any responsibility for anything, that they are actually responsible for cleaning up, making restitution for, acknowledging, and moving forward with.
And they just feel like this is just a yet another sign that the church as a whole doesn't see abuse by nuns as part of the wider scandal.
Can they sue the church the way some victims of priests have?
They can't sue the church unless the statute of limitations laws change. In Pennsylvania, many of these claims are very old and they've phased out of the window for suing. They're also not able to access what are called the victims' compensation funds. These are what the church has set up as kind of a independent mediation. You know, if you come forward with a claim, you don't want to go through the hassle of a lawsuit. The church has hired this law firm to investigate those claims and then decide what kind of financial compensation would be fair. But they only do that for the diocesan priests' victims. So if you were abused by a nun or by a, you know, Franciscan or a Jesuit priest, you're out of luck in turning to that for some form of restitution. Places are looking at opening up their statutes of limitations. New Jersey has a bill on the governor's desk that would create a window, sort of a temporary lift on those rules and say, hey, if you have a claim, you have this amount of time to come forward and sue on it. And in that case, all victims could come forward. But we don't have that yet locally.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, you guys.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son and Kevin McCory. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.